be 2020 saw something scary-ers, ites, isms, I don't know. Derek Zoo, Jeff Wright, back with a brand new edition of Saw Something Scary. Jeff, happy 2020, man. How are you?
Hey, thanks, Derek. Happy New Year. Hope the holidays were good for you and our listeners. I am recovered from a pretty nasty cold, and so I'm feeling pretty good right now. I've been leaning on the neti pot and like elderberry syrup, and I'm just glad to be past it. It's a bright new day in this second day of the new decade.
Yeah, for sure, man. We are recording this on January the 2nd of the year 2020, and we got a lot to talk about. The year in review, the decade in review on this week's edition of the podcast. So let's hop right into it, man. Where you want to start?
Well, I'll start with kind of behind the curtains. I almost pitched to you the idea of being hipster and being like, you know what? These cardinal decades that we tend to use, which is like the 60s, 70s, whatnot, that's not really the decade. Let's do ordinal decade. And so next year we'll cover the decade in horror. But I realize that's just snooty and dumb. And so it feels like everybody's doing their best of list this time of year, but you kind of feel like you got to. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's one of those cliches that everybody does.
Yeah, right, right. But you – You sort of got to, because the moment this isn't arbitrary. The moment kind of compels you to take a moment and look back, you know?
Yeah.
Not for sure. A moment too many times in one sentence.
Right.
So we're going to spend our time, listener, talking about the decade. And that's largely because 2019 kind of sucked for horror. I've been reading and listening.
You didn't even need to put that for horror on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Gosh, we're starting out on a bright note, but you're right, man. You're right. It is good to see 2019 go. Like, good things happened. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I'm not sad to see 2019 go.
Yeah, neither am I. Although I have chosen to focus on more of the positives of 2019 than the negatives. But yeah, I'm glad this one's over. So anyway, as you were saying,
I think a lot of people thought 2019 was really good, and. Yeah. I don't want to speak on your behalf, but I'm pretty confident I can say you and I are not in that camp.
No, not at all. There's a lot of people that thought a lot of movies were a lot better than they were, according to you and I.
Yeah, and since we started the horror renaissance and basically revived Stephen King's career, that matters.
Yeah, we are really the go-to when it comes to horror. So. Really, if you're not on our level or have our opinions, you're wrong.
we're starting negative and arrogant. This is good. This is good. Let's get this decade nailed down.
Yeah, I just figured it would be good to start a new decade with our humble selves.
Yeah. Okay. Why change what's working?
Yeah.
So let me do it this way. Since we started kind of dark here, I'm going to work from sucked to honorable mention to best of 2019. Okay.
Okay.
And so this, I'm going to give you 10 movies, Derek, and feel free to riff on these however you want. Tell me I'm wrong, whatever needs to happen.
Okay.
But the heading for this is, these movies sucked, but everyone says they're good.
Okay.
So a lot of this is the fruit of a very frustrating December for me. Last year, trying to get ready for that year's version of this episode, I binge watched a ton of horror movies and found some stuff that I really liked. Summer of 84 sticks out. Like I enjoyed that movie, and I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't tried to cram a bunch of stuff in at the end of the year. So I did that again this year, and it was really an ofer, except for one movie, which I fell in love with. So there is a silver lining that's quite compelling, but anyway, I just came out of December being like, I thought the year was bad. It really sucks. So anyway, on that cheery note, here are the movies that everyone says are good, but they actually sucked. Number one, Beelzebuth. Did you see that one?
No, I did not. I don't even know what that is.
That's the right approach. Gwen. Have you ever heard of Gwen?
Nope.
You can find it on Rotten Tomatoes rank of best horror movies of 2019. They're wrong. The Golem.
Yep, missed that one too.
Same list. Just as sucky. Lose, an exorcism movie.
Sounds like you lost.
Yeah, definitely. Here's where we're getting into familiar territory. Midsummer. Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, it sucked.
Hey, so can we just go ahead and do a spoiler alert on this? Or
please,
well, I mean, not a Wahlberg, but Jeff and I are going to review Midsommar.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, I just mentioned Midsommar and my dog started barking because they know. They sat and watched it with me. So yeah, we're gonna review Midsommar. We're not sure if it's gonna be on this free platform or if you're gonna have to pay to listen to us tear it to shreds. But we both have seen it. We both hate it. And I hate most of you for making me watch it.
It is one of those deals. I don't like antagonizing people who listen to our podcast. And there were a ton of people like, hey, give Midsommar a chance.
Yeah.
I couldn't have had my expectations met any more fully than watching that bag of garbage that was just such a terrible. I'll save it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Midsommar sucked, but everybody says it's good.
I'll say this. This is my one line review. I wish I was the old man plummeting in my death after watching Midsommar.
Yeah, basically watching Midsommar is like laying there at the bottom of the cliff waiting for them to get there with the hammer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, I'm about to get everybody listening to this podcast to just turn it off. So I went heavy with Midsommar sucking because it does. Here's the other one that I watched that sucked that everybody says is good. Ready or Not. Is this where you push back?
Slightly.
Okay, good. No, that's great. I hated the thing, but so many people like it. I'm assuming that there are people out there who want to be like, yeah, Derek, tell him he's an idiot.
I don't think you're an idiot per se. I enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it in the sense of like, yeah, I turned it on while I was working on stuff and wasn't really paying that much attention.
Well, I commend your strategy.
I don't think Samara Weaving is the ingenue that people think she is. And I thought that the ending of it was really stupid.
Yeah. And see, so I guess we're going to protect spoilers on this. I'm probably a little different. Like, I think Weaving could have brighter days ahead of her.
Mm-hmm.
That was not her vehicle.
Yeah.
But yeah, people love the ending to that movie.
Yeah, I did not.
It just kind of captures what I don't like about horror movies. Or rather, it like captures a kind of horror movie I just cannot – I don't have any bandwidth for.
Yeah. Well, it was almost like somebody gave Quentin Tarantino carte blanche to do a horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, particularly with the gore and stuff.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I'll just tell you, I don't go for like nihilistic or pointless horror movies where like the point is to say – look at how these people died. Ha ha ha. Yeah. And there's really no genre that does that. Like the point of this movie is to tell fart jokes or the point of this movie is to look at women's bodies. Like if that's all you're doing, if it's a one joke movie, I've got too much in my life to waste time doing that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there are people out there, I guess, who are like, oh, there was a crossbow to the face and they didn't mean to. And ha ha ha. I'm not trying to belittle you. If that's your jam and that's how you spend your recreational time, like, more power to you.
Yeah.
It's just not me. And so when I watched that movie, I was like, I just gave away a couple hours of my life.
Yeah. I think that I actually had to watch it twice because I think I fell asleep the first time.
Well, I watched it straight through and like I had to like keep my head locked to the screen because I thought I don't care. I don't care about the people. I don't care about the protagonist. I don't care about what's happening. There's nothing about that movie to hook my interest.
Yeah. It did feel like we just got thrown in with no rhyme or reason.
Well, that, and yeah, I wasn't exactly.
Yeah.
There's no point to that movie. And I get it. Like, for some people, that's what they're looking for in horror. Like, oh, let's see some body horror.
Sure.
That's just never been me. And if you've been listening to this podcast, that's not what I'm coming to the table for with, again, in any genre. It's why I don't watch a lot of comedies nowadays because they're trite. I just can't get into a movie like that. So anyway, everybody says Ready or Not was good. Because it was pointless, I say it sucked. Another one, Saint Agatha. Did you see that one?
No, sir.
Okay. Well, how about Hagazusa on Shudder?
I think I watched him wrestle a match one time back in like '98.
I may have been with you. He's the white dude who dresses up in a Japanese gimmick.
Yeah.
So Rotten Tomatoes says that's like the third best horror movie of the year. Guess what? It sucked.
Yeah. What's it about?
It is about this like German peasant woman who is abused by her neighbors and maybe turns into a witch or maybe not. I mean, dude, it's like, I think the people who like the movie would say it is moving and tragic and placed for emotional resonance. It's just a slow drag of an awful movie.
Mm.
Stay okay. far away.
All right. Yeah. Screw you, Haggis.
Here's the place where you and I think will overlap in our evaluation. Okay.
Okay.
The second to last movie that everyone says is good, but actually sucked. The Hole in the Ground.
Oh, jeez. Did that movie come out last year?
I'm pretty sure it did. Pretty sure. It's number 12 on Rotten Tomatoes list.
My goodness.
And then
that movie is terrible.
Yeah. One that I was rooting for against all odds because I initially was out on it. Child's Play. The new Child's Play, which I guess everyone doesn't say is good,
mm-hmm.
but it definitely sucks.
I'm sorry. That was just, oh man, that was beautifully said.
This is the major contrast with last year that I think frames the year for me. In 2018, we didn't have like truly awful misses, at least not 10 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things I'm going to think about in 2019 is how many movies that were supposed to be good came out that ended up just absolutely letting me down to the highest degree.
Yeah.
I had low expectations for Midsommar. They were met. I had no expectations for Ready or Not. They were, you know, I got something low. I talked myself into Child's Play. It failed to deliver. It's just there's a negative factor in these misses that 2018 didn't have for me. But I do, you know, I want to get us more positive. So I'm going to give honorable mention to four movies that ended up not being particularly great, but I really appreciated that they tried. Okay.
Okay.
So they tried. Number four on this list is Pet Sematary.
Mama tried.
Yes. Yes. The director tried. I could maybe put that music drop in here. but Pet Sematary, the remake from this year.
Yeah.
That ending fell super flat.
Mm.
And most of what was good about that movie was given away in the trailer.
Yeah.
But they tried. And compared to, you know, Agazusa, I can appreciate that.
Hey, look, man, that guy was the AWF World Heavyweight Champion, so you can leave him alone.
Number three in this section, Haunt. Did you catch Haunt?
Dude, I'm going to be real honest with you. My brain is Swiss cheese at this point. I don't think so, but I'm going to look at it just to see.
Yeah, well, I'll do this for the listeners.
Oh, yeah, with a haunted house?
Yes, yes.
I did see that.
Yeah, that movie just took the idea of motivations and punted it out the window. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
In favor, in my opinion, of a cheap, oh, but they're really crazy, and this is how you know, let them take off their masks.
Yeah.
But you know what? It tried like it was a decent slasher until they let the audience know, no, there's no cohesive story behind this.
Yeah. Do you know what's crazy about that though? Is that the guys that wrote and directed Haunt wrote A Quiet Place.
Well, I'm glad that Krasinski took his red pen to it then. Because here's the deal. Haunt is like, it's 80% of the way to a good movie. You just can't leave it at, what if people in a haunted house were actually killers? Like, you need to tell me something that doesn't immediately break my disbelief, you know, that this group of crazies can somehow get it together enough to organize a haunted house and then people just accidentally show up. And, you know, there's just too much like, who cares? That's not what this movie's about. Like, I get that the set piece of a murderous haunted house is a pretty cool idea. But you've also got to do the legwork of like building some kind of story around it. Otherwise, it feels like, 80% of a good movie.
Yeah.
I think you'll be pleased with this one, sir. I also think they tried was Girl on the Third Floor.
Yeah. I don't want to say that I'm a little upset that you put it there. I think I probably would have put it at number 10 if we were going to do a top 10 list for 2019.
Well, okay. I'm not going to push on that because at this point, it and the next film I'm going to talk about were like in my hopper for like they maybe should be top 10 movies.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Girl on the Third Floor that's good, what's CM Punk's real name?
Charles Montgomery Punk.
He's got a future in acting if he wants it.
Phil Brooks is his real name. Yeah.
He was a pleasant surprise.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Number two, it's a pretty creative take on a haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
What held it back for me is like, I don't need to see a woman getting whipped in a sex show.
Yeah, that was a weird flex.
And it just went on forever. And I'm like, this can be a plot element. Just mention it to me. I'm going to get creeped out and see it as disgusting. Don't worry.
Right. Right.
That you want that, like, I have to watch her get whipped before I end up leaving the room. Yeah, I'm out, man. So,
yeah,
they were trying. They just made some aesthetic choices that I thought were poor.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And then, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, just to get back on that, I am going to say that I'm completely biased in the fact that with CM Punk being in that movie, it did raise my enjoyment factor. But I thought he had a really good, like, Bruce Campbell vibe to him.
And that is super well said. He really could be the Bruce Campbell inheritor.
Yeah.
That is well said. And that role was more serious than we think of with Bruce Campbell.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like two turns of the compass away from it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If they need to remake The Evil Dead again, and they're looking for somebody to take the mantle from Ash away from Bruce Campbell because Bruce is getting a little too long in the tooth, which I don't think at all. But I'm just saying, if you know, there's always youth that's being touted in Hollywood, then I think that Punk would be a really good choice.
Yeah, I would totally sign up for an Evil Dead movie where you know CM Punk and Bruce Campbell play the Spider-Man meme.
Uh-huh.
Kind of like stepbrothers, only in horror. You know, they're so similar, they hate each other, and then they eventually become homies, and one's the mentor and one's the protege.
Yeah, or father-son.
Yeah, hey, that's fine. He's like, he's Campbell's love child, lost love child.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, it gets an honorable mention, because they were definitely trying.
Yeah.
And then the last one that almost made my top 10 for 2019 is Crawl. Crawl was a good movie. It just didn't rise to the level of like best of the year. If I'm going to lop it off at 10, that's really the only criticism I have for Crawl.
Yeah, Crawl was an unexpected joy for me this year or last year.
Mm-hmm.
I did not expect myself to enjoy it as much as I did. As a matter of fact, I went in going, I'm going to hate this movie, and I walked out of it going, man, that was pretty fun. I think it didn't overstay its welcome. It gave you exactly what you expected, but it did it in a way that didn't insult your intelligence or telegraph itself too much. You know, I mean, there was a few things in it that you thought like, oh, yeah, this is what's about to happen. But it it was just a really fun piece of cinema. And I would agree with you. I don't think it's top 10, but it's definitely like 11 or 12.
Well, so 2 points on that. We're tracking very close together, which we reviewed it, so I'm not surprised. But one, it really is the spiritual inheritor of Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
You know, we got the and actually Happy Death Day is going to show back up in my best of the year. I'm going to explain why. But like Happy Death Day to you let me down because the original raised my expectations.
Yeah.
Crawl was just what you said. It was the same thing I had with Happy Death Day. I went in being like, this is nothing. And I came out going like, oh, wow, that punches above its weight class.
Yeah.
The other point about Crawl is to contrast it with what I was saying about Haunt previously. Crawl took a cool concept. What if you're trapped under a flooding house with gators? But they took the time to actually build a story around it. So her dad is a constructor. A constructor? What? He's in construction.
He's a boa constructor. That's the big twist in the movie.
Yeah, he's a Constructicon. This is a total genre bender. Let me try that again. Her dad is in construction and refurbishes homes. There's a financial reason that he would work to the 11th hour trying to get a home taken care of. She's a Olympic swimmer. I mean, not Olympic, collegiate swimmer. You know what I mean? Like, and they don't spend a ton of time on any of that. There's we meet her at a swim meet. There's a phone call with Sis that explains some of this stuff. And then we're into the movie. If they would have added something similar to the idea of, hey, crazy people are running a haunted house and people are actually dying, Haunt would have actually been a good movie. But they didn't take the time to build the world around it.
Sure.
Makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, honorable mention to You Films. And, it, you know, Crawl is probably one I will go back and watch at some point.
Yeah.
So, getting warmer. We've come now to my best of 2019, Derek. So get your shotgun ready to shoot these down, okay? Number 10 for me is a movie I just bagged on. It's Happy Death Day to You. And it made it into my top 10 because I enjoyed getting to spend more time with Tree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. Like, otherwise it was a letdown, but I like that character and Jessica Roth enough that, like, it didn't mess with her so much. And what I like about her, that I'm not happy I watched the movie. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So Happy Death Day to You squeaks in, even though Crawl was probably a better overall movie on the strength of carrying over what you liked about the predecessor. And for me, that's kind of the best example of why 2019 was not a good year. Like, I have to really strain to find 10 movies that I thought were good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm depending upon a predecessor film to even get a 10 rounded out. Any pushback?
No, not yet.
All right. So number 9 for me is a movie that I think a lot of people are going to say isn't a horror movie. I think it is. But I also think it illustrates how you kind of got to scrape the barrel a bit to get 10 for 2019.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Yep.
It is.
I was just going to say, I agree with you that you do have to scrape the bottom of the barrel, but I would also say that I would put this movie on possibly even on my top 10 of the year, just straight up.
Oh, yeah. Any genre?
Yeah.
That's definitely true for me, too. It is already the movie from 2019 I have watched the most. My kids love it, and so we will throw it on. Even if we don't watch the whole thing, we'll just throw it on and watch some big bad monsters fight each other.
Yeah, and I'm pumped about Kong and Godzilla.
Me too, man. Me too. Number 8, Brightburn.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with that movie. It did everything it said it was going to do, and it's sort of it represents sort of a tier. So 10 and 9 for me are like kind of straining to have a top 10.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I get to Brightburn, I'm happy to say this was a good movie from 2019. So, like, if I was authentically saying best horror movies of 2019, I would have to stop the list at 8. But since top 10 is kind of how we do things, I pulled those other two in.
Mm-hmm.
Brightburn's a good horror movie, and it's fun to see the Superman mythos subverted. And that's what I got to say about Brightburn.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I am still interested to see if they build this dark Justice League that they hinted on in the credits. But it's crazy to me that that movie happened this year. Like,
yeah,
it still is just I don't know. This year's been weird.
It has. I would like to see more from that universe too, and it kind of makes in that sense. I'm kind of bummed that James Gunn is back working with Marvel and DC, because I feel like those big ticket movies are going to keep him away from the Brightburn universe, and I wish he had more time for it.
Well, I mean, he was just an executive producer on Brightburn. It was his brother that actually like wrote and directed it.
I still feel like Brightburn is one of those movies, even a sequel, particularly the way the box office played out for Brightburn. I feel like his name's got to be attached meaningfully for it to get greenlit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a producer, you're not really doing much with it. So
yeah, I mean, maybe you could rope a dope, you know, the studio and be like, no, for real, I'm going to have a hand in this and let your brother take it and run.
Well, I think for situations like that, you slap a name on it in that way so that you can, even if you don't have anything to do with it, it's just name value alone. And so it would be like if you're a big time movie director and I wanted to make a movie and I could put, you know, produced by the guy that made whatever you make, you may not have anything to do with it, but because we're friends, I could be like, hey, Jeff, you know, do you care to look at this and give me some input, you know, some of your input and things like that. It's kind of like with with the Russos with that 21 Bridges movie.
Yeah, yeah, good call. Or Nolan Bridges. With Zack Snyder and his brother, right? Christopher Nolan with his brother. Yeah. And,
they're going to put their name on it because they know that, oh, snap, Jordan Peele had something to do with this movie, like the Antebellum movie that's coming out this year that's being like from the producers of Us and Get Out. And people are like, oh, cool, Jordan Peele's got a new movie coming out. Well, no, Jordan Peele had nothing to do with that movie. He may be a producer on it, but it's not from his mind. It's not, you know, it's not something that he's been working on. So, but people are going to believe that he had something to do with it. So I say all that to say that with the guns being in charge of that, I think that you could still get that second movie greenlit. Even if it's, you know, even if it's James Gunn being like, oh, hey, guys, my brothers want to make the sequel to this. Can we do it? Oh, yeah, sure, James. No problem. All right, cool. Thanks.
Well, I'm definitely happy to defer, one, to your expertise, and then, two, that actually gives me what I want. Like, if that's the case, just, James, sign your name to whatever.
Yeah.
So we can get this going, because I would like to see more from Brightburn.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, what a bleak ending on that movie, though.
For sure. Number seven, actually, before we move on, I just want to pause here for a second. I think there may be a listener out there who's like, hey, dude, Brightburn was just about killing people the same way you criticized Ready or Not or whatever. But it wasn't. Brightburn was about saying, what can we do to take the superhero genre that's so popular right now in a sinister direction?
Yeah.
And
I also felt like that Brightburn was about world building.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. About world building. And so there may be some kind of superficial resemblance to each other. Brightburn wasn't a cheap effects dump. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just show him blowing a guy's head off with heat vision. There was more going on than that element.
Yeah.
Where there wasn't with Ready or Not.
Yeah. Also, apologies if you just heard that rapper on the other end.
Well, we're happy to have your candy wrapper as a guest host.
Well, it's a protein bar. I just haven't eaten today, so.
Whatever, dude. It's candy. I can recognize wrappers. Can't believe you lied to me.
I thought we were friends. Anyway.
Number seven is a very middle-of-the-road movie that, I mean, it's another tier where, like, it's fine. It's fine. It's Annabelle Comes Home. Mm-hmm. Haunted house movie, did some cool scares. Cool, man. You need a scary movie for a Friday night that'll work. Is there anything else to say about it?
Nope.
Yeah. So now we move into another tier. There's three movies in this tier for me. These are actually good movies. They're not perfect, but they were good, and I'm thankful I saw them, and like I'll probably come back to them at some point. Number six is Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. You know, kind of a straight scary movie. It was faithful to the books. The visuals really worked. It was everything I needed from that movie, and they pulled it off. So an actual good movie, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Number five, Zombieland Double Tap.
Yep.
Super satisfied watching that movie. Very glad to go back to the world. Not going to change the world, but a good follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
And then number four, finishing out the tier, It Chapter 2.
Yep.
Probably had a little too long of a runtime. Didn't quite meet the hype of its predecessor.
Yeah.
But seriously, one of the best films of the year, any genre, and number four is where it belongs.
Yeah, I actually went back and watched that movie a couple nights ago. I'm trying to think of when. Oh, sometime in the last week, for sure. And thought it was great. I actually enjoyed it more on the second view than I did on the original viewing of it. So,
oh, well, that's good to know. I bought it when it came out on home video, and I haven't watched it again. I've only seen it one time, just basically because of the runtime.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if that's what your experience was like, I'm going to speed up my review.
Yeah, it was just nice to go back into it. And, I as much as I am an advocate of go watch movies in theaters, I also have to say that it is very nice to be able to, especially a movie with that kind of runtime, be able to get into your favorite comfortable chair with your favorite snack and drink and stuff. And then if you need to pause it to go to the restroom, you can pause it and go to the restroom and, you know, things like that. So it was good. Yeah, I enjoyed the rewatch of it. it's still too long. There's no doubt about that. It's still too long, but I thought it was better on the first go than it was a second.
I'm thrilled to hear that. And you're totally right that some movies work better in the living room. They just do. I still like theaters, but some work better in the living room. Number three, maybe you're going to get salty about this. I'm not sure. Number three is Us.
Okay.
And it came in at number three because Peele didn't quite tighten down the world as tightly as I expected him to. You know, they're like, there's some obvious plot questions that you're left with at the end of that movie. But that's really my only criticism of it. Like, it was very compelling visually. It really delivered on the scares. It was super ambitious in terms of like trying to do something we've never seen before, really, in a horror movie, although it's working with previous elements. It's just that one little criticism that took it to number three for me rather than two or one.
I think that's fair. I wouldn't put it at number three, but I think it's fair.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you can tell me my top two. You can tell me how to move it around. Number two for me was Dr. Sleep. And the reason that it nudged Us for me is that I can't really point to a weakness with the movie itself. I prefer the book to the movie. But the reason that the movie had to be what it is because he's trying to pull back the Stephen King Shining novel into some kind of harmony with The Shining as a movie. And with that criteria on the table, I think he met it. So it's not a problem with the movie per se. It's sort of a problem with what the movie was trying to do. And I admire what Flanagan can pull off with those constraints. I thought it was impossible, and I think he managed to deliver a really good movie.
I agree with most of what you said. I wouldn't have put it as high as number two.
Okay. What would you have bumped up ahead of it?
Well, I'll tell you what. Do your final one, and then I'll give you my 10 for the year because it does look a little bit different than yours.
Okay. Well, number one for me is a movie I know that you haven't watched yet, and I'm chomping at the bit for you to watch it so we can review it. And it is The Good Fruit of my year-end binge that I mentioned way back when we first started this episode. It's a movie that released in 2000.
Way back in 2019, for sure. This episode,
maybe further back. It actually released in 2017, but it was regional and it got a wide release in 2019. So most websites are listing it as a 2019 release, and that is Tigers Are Not Afraid. Found it on Shudder. It's maybe the best movie I've seen this entire year, any genre. It's cliche to say it, and I'm probably overhyping it for you and your listeners, but I was on an emotional roller coaster. It blends multiple different genres in ways I did not expect. It's legitimately a horror movie, but it's also one of the most compelling human interest stories I've ever watched, or at least that I can say I've watched in recent memory. And so,
my goodness.
I love this movie, and you know, I totally assume that if you don't, you'll be clear about that. But I haven't discovered a movie in a long time with the satisfaction that I felt discovering Tigers Are Not Afraid. So it's my number one. I think it's basically a perfect movie.
Wow. Well, that's pretty impressive, man.
Yeah. Well, I hope you enjoy it. I certainly hope you watch it so we can review it on the podcast. I need to talk to somebody who understands horror movies about this movie.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I plan to. So I guess I'll have to redo my Shudder account so that I can friggin' watch this movie.
You may have a podcast host who would be a fellow podcast host who'd be happy to let you use his Shudder login.
Yeah. Well, you know, we ought to just watch it together, Jeff. Yeah. I'll be home soon, so we ought to just make that happen.
Fire it up. I'm in, bud. I'm in.
Cool.
So there's my top 10. Tell me what you would have done differently.
Okay. So real quick, because we're already it's already running long and we need to go through the decade. I would go this way. Number 10, Girl on the Third Floor. Number 9. Would probably be Happy Death Day to You. Number 8, Brightburn. Number 7 is going to be Dr. Sleep.
Oh, wow.
That ending just jacked me up, man.
Sure.
I wasn't a fan. Number 6 would be Annabelle. Number 5 would be Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. Number 4 would be It Chapter 2. Number 3 would be Zombieland Double Tap.
Okay.
Number 2 would be the Are You Afraid of the Dark revival.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah.
And really, really enjoyed it. I don't know if you've had a chance to see it or not, but it hit all the right buttons for me, man. And as a matter of fact, I bought it. I thought it was so good. So
I haven't seen it, and I wish that's what I'd done with my horror movie binge. I don't know if I'd have found Tigers Are Not Afraid otherwise, but like now that you've said that, I wish I'd have just spent my time on the revival and, you know, trusted that Tigers would find its way to me.
Yeah. And then number one would be Us for me.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
I had a blast watching that movie in theaters. I think I watched it 3 times in theaters, and I've loved watching it every time since then on, you know, on the rewatches. I do agree with you that it's not as tightly wrapped up as Get Out. I don't think it's a better movie than Get Out. I know that earlier in the year when we reviewed it, I said that I would have to watch both and really try to figure out which one I enjoyed more. And I think that Get Out's the better movie, but I do think it's an ambitious movie. I think that if Get Out is a 10, then I think that Us is probably like an 8.5. And I'm all in on Jordan Peele. I know you are as well, but, to me, like he hasn't, even with that movie, he hasn't done anything too damning, for me to be like, you know, not going to give you the benefit of the doubt anymore. And I don't know off the top of my head. I can't think of a horror movie that I had more fun watching in theaters this year. The only one that I could think that I may have enjoyed more in theaters was Zombieland. And that's why it's so far up on my list.
Okay. Well, I really enjoyed Zombieland and Us, so I have no – I don't have like a strong enough opinion to push back. I have my reasons on the record, and yours are certainly compelling as well. In that sense, 2019 wasn't a complete loss. I found a gem in Tigers. We got Us. We got It. We got Zombieland. Like, we've got movies that everybody can kind of agree that was a really well done movie.
Yeah. I think that we didn't have the tentpole movie this year. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that's why we think that 2019 wasn't the best year for horror. I guess for most people, their tentpole movie would be Midsommar, but those people are morons. So, I just can't tell you the amount of hatred I have for that movie.
Yeah, I totally get it.
I mean, you can be on the record for this. I tried as hard as possible to keep you from watching it.
Yep, you did. You did. I kind of had the same experience you did. Like, if so many people that I know and respect and want, you know, care enough to know what I thought about it, want me to watch it, think I should, I'll try to set my, you know, presumptions aside or presuppositions aside. And it just, I was punished for that choice.
Yeah. I do look forward to sitting in the same room with you and destroying that movie. But yeah, back to what I was saying, I don't feel like that we had that tentpole movie this year to be like, oh, horror was great and this is the reason why. You know, I feel like we've had that almost every year since we've been doing this podcast.
And some years, like I'm thinking about 2017, we got Get Out and It in 2017. Yeah. A Quiet Place dropped in 2018. Like, it kind of came out of nowhere. So
not only that, though, we had Hill House. And I think Hill House, for the both of us, was the quintessential, like, this is why horror is awesome in you know, the year of our Lord, 2018.
Yes. So maybe we're a little spoiled in, like, getting not just one, but two. You
know? Yeah.
I know that for me, the end of the year felt super flat. Like, I was looking forward to Dr. Sleep, and when it was over, you know, that was just kind of the end of it. So anyway, all right. So that's the bow we're putting on 2019, listeners. Derek, you're right. We're into extra innings, but we hadn't recorded in like 6 months.
Yeah, that's true too.
So if our listeners want to handle this as a two-parter, feel free to hit pause. Come back to this next week.
Yeah, I was going to say, take a water break, because odds are, looking at my schedule for next week, we won't be recording.
All right. We ready to move into the 2010s as a decade?
Yeah, man, let's do it.
So I'm going to start where I started last time. Everyone says these movies are good, but they sucked.
Oh.
Sorry. What were you thinking?
I was just being facetious. Go ahead.
Well, feel free to be facetious. all right, everybody, you think these movies are good, but they actually sucked. Number one, Unsane. That stupid recorded on an iPhone gobbledygook.
Excuse me. Yeah, that was a terrible movie. How dare you?
The next one that everybody says is good but sucked is the Evil Dead remake. Dadgummit.
Yeah, you're right. I was just trying to be contrarian for a second.
Here's the thing, man. That movie, if that's what they want to do with some horror movie, go for it. But, like, we know what makes the Evil Dead franchise really fun and lovable, and that ain't it, man.
Right.
And then nobody who's listening to this podcast is going to be surprised by this taking the pole spot in the sucked list for me. But Raw. Raw sucked. It's not just a decade-level suck. It's an era, a generation, a millennium. That movie is sucky from top to the bottom and deserves to be cast aside into the dustbin of history, forgotten forevermore.
Yeah, the only thing I can remember about Raw from this point is Joni Webster sending me 87 direct messages trying to convince me that it's a good movie.
Jody, we love you.
And me being like, okay, buddy, sounds good. Yeah. Okay.
Raw has gaslit our friend Jody, and it's apparently gaslit many in society.
Yeah.
So screw off, Raw, forever. And
okay, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
You're about to get me hot.
I think that movie's terrible. Okay. I think it's a terrible movie. But I think that what's the saying that I say sometimes for the people that like those kinds of things, that's the kind of thing those people are going to like. And I think that you and I approach horror differently than honest to goodness, most of the people that listen to this podcast. And I just think that for some people, the shock and awe of that movie was enough for them to be like, oh, this movie was amazing. I disagree with that wholeheartedly, but I think that that is where people are coming from when they say that it's a good movie. I don't think structurally it's a good movie. I don't think the story is good, but I think that there was enough shock and awe and vomit-inducing moments in it where some – and that's what some people think you need to have for a good horror movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're one of those people, thanks for listening. Trying to be nice here.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you, I'm kind of on default out on a movie that spends a prolonged period of time showing me women learning to pee standing up.
Right.
I'm good. Good. Just, you know, for life on those kind of scenes.
Oh, whoa. Hang on a second. I forgot to mention a movie in 2019 that I really, well, not really enjoyed, but I enjoyed, and I feel like that we were doing a disservice by not including it in the list.
All right, bring it.
Ma.
Yeah, I didn't know where to stick Ma. Like, Ma's perfectly, well, it's a little bit better than perfectly acceptable for me, and it just didn't seem to fit neatly into any of my categories.
Yeah. I thought that Ma was perfectly acceptable, a little bit above perfectly acceptable horror as well. But yeah, I definitely feel like that it's deserving of a little bit of recognition for the top. Well, maybe not top 10, but at least we talked about a lot of movies from 2019, and I feel like that Ma should have been talked about as well. So I'll watch Octavia Spencer go crazy on some teenagers any day of the week.
Sure. It delivered. You know, yeah. This is what I'll say about Ma. It's another example of like keep away from trailers, because the truck scene.
Yeah.
I just wish I'd have seen that in the movie for the first time.
Yep. That is a really great reason to stay away from trailers.
Yeah. So. Before we leave the section of this movie sucked, but everyone says it's
also
good.
Oh, also Raw sucks.
Yes. We can say it as much as you want. And that actually applies, combining our love of mutual different mediums. That applies to the WWE and the cinematic world.
That's what I was thinking, too.
This movie that I want to mention, nobody, I think, says it's good, but it just sucked bad enough I want to take a parting shot at it before we close the decade out.
The Bye Bye Man.
No, that one I would just rather forget.
Rings.
This movie sucked and needs to be criticized every time you get a chance. It is The Strangers Pray at Night. Screw you for ruining The Strangers sequel. Whoever it is out there who's responsible.
We don't talk about that movie unless you just want to see me cry.
Yeah. I mean, see, that's part of it. Like, why you gotta hurt my friend? Why you gotta hurt my friend?
Yeah. Yeah, because that did it, man. That, my goodness, that was, hurt my soul.
Yep, me too, buddy. So, screw you to The Strangers.
Yeah.
Here's a more positive list to just throw out there rapid fire. Feel free to comment on any that grab your attention, Derek. Mm-hmm. These are movies that did not make my best of, but I just wanted to say I love these movies and I want to shout them out. Specifically, okay. This list is movies that you and I have not reviewed, but okay. I love them and I think they need to be mentioned, even if they're not the best of the decade.
Okay.
Number 10, We Are Still Here.
Okay.
Number 9, Cropsey. Mm. Number 8, Troll Hunter.
Yeah, we do need to review Troll Hunter.
Number 7, The Monster.
Okay.
Number 6, The Last Exorcism.
Oh, yeah, we need to review that one, too.
I think that's a movie where I was texting you because I was in an empty theater watching it by myself.
That actually sounds right.
Number 5, Train to Busan. Did you see that?
Yeah.
I'm really burned out on zombie movies. Mm-hmm. It takes a special one to like get my attention again. Zombieland did it, I think, in part because of the nostalgia. Train to Busan was one of those where I was like, okay, cool, let's do this. Number 4, Bone Tomahawk, combining my love of horror and Western movies.
Yeah.
Number 3, Attack the Block. Did you catch that one?
No, I've actually never heard of that one.
Introduced the world to John Boyega, the guy who plays Finn.
Oh, yeah.
Totally worth tracking down. The Innkeepers at number 2.
Okay.
And number 1, I think you're going to agree with me on, Derek, Shutter Island.
Yeah, dude, we need to review Shutter Island.
I'm cool with that.
Big time need to review Shutter Island. That's an amazing movie. That is now 10 years old. Holy smokes.
Sheesh, yeah. Yeah. I've got children that are almost that old.
Yeah.
Yikes. So anyway, that's a little love letter from me to those movies. They're not going to make the best of list, but man, they're good. And I'm glad they're out there.
Yeah, I agree with I definitely agree with some of those. So put them on the list. Cool.
Check out Attack the Block. I think like it's horror comedy ish. So you know from me that it takes a special movie in that genre to awaken my delight. I think you'll like Attack the Block.
Well, I won't lie, you had me at John Boyega. So
yeah, I'd like to see more from that guy too.
Yeah, good dude.
A couple honorable mentions before we get into the top 10. For me, I wanted to just say, appreciate what you're doing. Happy Death Day and Halloween 2018. Didn't think y'all were top 10, but appreciate y'all. This is probably going to throw a little salt on you, Derek. Creep, honorable mention for the decade. Maybe some more salt. Number 3, just because it was such a fun, visceral experience. You know, the payoff ruined it for me, but as I was watching it, I was quite delighted and captivated. That would be Hereditary. Number 2, Annabelle Creation.
Yeah.
And number 1, John Cho's Searching.
Man, that movie does not get the love it deserves.
Yep. One of the very best.
Yeah.
If my list was a top 12, it would be on the top 12.
Yeah, I would agree with that, sir. All
right. So how do we want to do this best of 2010s? You want to go movie by movie? How you want to handle this?
Why don't you drop your 10 and then I'll drop my 10 and we'll see what lines up.
Okay. Well, I'm actually going to ask you to help me decide for my final spot in the top 10.
Okay.
I got 2 movies to throw at you. Tell me which one's better, buddy. I couldn't pick between Don't Breathe, 2016, I think, Fede Alvarez, and Andy Muschietti's Mama from 2013. Mama's better?
Yeah.
Happy to pick that one. So that's my number 10 spot.
Okay.
Don't Breathe then kind of gets pushed to just the top of the honorable mentions with Searching. Love that movie. Number 9 for me then, Autopsy of Jane Doe. Mm. Unlike anything I'd ever seen before, kept me riveted and really love that movie. So number 9, Autopsy of Jane Doe. Number 8, Hush. And I'll just tell you, I had a hard time sorting through the Flanagan films.
Mm-hmm.
He owned the freaking decade, man. This, I don't know what history's going to look at and say, that's the 2010s in horror, maybe Jordan Peele.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of like steady releasing bangers, it's Mike Flanagan all day long.
Yeah.
And I went with Hush because it basically made me believe the slasher genre had something left to offer.
Yeah.
You could sub in a ton of stuff. And anyway, so Hush at number 8, it's definitely Mike Flanagan's decade. And I've got to ask you at this point, what do we do with The Haunting of Hill House? Because it's perhaps the best thing I saw the whole decade, but it also wasn't a movie.
I feel like that we probably should have set those parameters beforehand because I actually have that high on my list.
Okay, well, if it goes in the list, I just reserve the right to bump because it is in about a 3-way tie for number 1 for me. Okay, mm-hmm. So kudos to Mike Flanagan. Thank you for your work. You have blessed us this decade. And again, we are happy to crown you the king of 2010. Or at least I am. I don't know if Derek is, but I am.
I am not.
Okay. Number seven.
But he's right there with him.
I didn't mean to step on I'm not. I just figured that's coming in whatever your list
is. Yeah.
Number seven for me was It Chapter One from 2017.
Okay.
Number six, The Babadook from 2014. Mm-hmm. Number five, The Witch, 2016. Mm. Number four, It Follows, 2015. Yeah, I figured that would get some response out of you.
You know what? I'll just go ahead and say this. It Follows was my number 10 movie.
It made the list. I don't know why. I have no stake in that movie, but I'm kind of delighted.
And not even because I enjoy it that much, but just because I know how much it is enjoyed by others. To me, it's a decent movie, but it's not the movie that everyone thinks it is. And I think that it was ruined for me by lofty expectations.
Yeah.
People were telling me this is the greatest horror movie of all time. So I went into it expecting it to be the greatest horror movie of all time. It's not by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a good movie, and I thought that it had earned its place in my top 10, even if it's not one of my top 10 favorite movies of the decade.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about this movie a lot. We've done a full review on it in our archives if you want to listen. Derek and I are divided on it. I will tell you, I know for sure that expectations, basically having none and watching them be blown away, was a big part of my love for this movie. I didn't have any preconceived notions about it. No one had hyped it for me. And I was riveted. I'd never seen anything like it. I thought the concept was novel. I thought the actors did a good job. I thought the way that it kind of existed in no particular time, I liked that movie. So
the soundtrack is amazing.
Oh yeah. I don't even remember the soundtrack. Is it like synthwave stuff?
Yeah. And you know, and that was before like Stranger Things, you know, and things like that were popular. So,
I think it's Stranger Things apart from It Follows.
I think you're right.
That's another one. It wasn't a movie, but it's definitely part of the 2019 horror profile. So I don't know what to do with the Stranger Things, but we can handle that in a minute. Number three for me is The Conjuring.
Okay.
And I'm just going to own that the Conjuring gets a franchise bonus bump for me. Mm-hmm. My favorite Conjuring movie is the second one. I have liked, to some degree, most of the Conjuring franchise movies. And so I'm just trying to account for that.
There's one in particular that we both agree is terrible.
Yes. Annabelle Origins movie.
Oh, no.
I wouldn't even think about the Nun. I had blocked the Nun from my memory. You're right.
Yeah.
The Nun makes Annabelle Origins looks like Get Out or something. So no, you're definitely right. Maybe I should have penalized the franchise. Now that I think about it, I'd straight up block the Nun from my mind.
Yeah. As a franchise, I wouldn't put it top three, but as the Conjuring movie itself, I would probably put it. It made my list. I'll say that.
Yeah. Okay. And this is where we get into the tie, because I don't know what to do with serials. Stranger Things and the Haunting of Hill House are vying for best of the decade. My affections are for the Haunting of Hill House, but you know. And then the second best movie alone that I saw in 2010 was A Quiet Place, meaning the first spot on my list for the best of the 2010s goes to Get Out.
Yeah.
And so if you put Get Out, A Quiet Place, Haunting of Hill House, and Stranger Things into a bag and shook them, I think Get Out is the best movie. I think The Haunting of Hill House is the best horror film experience. But I'm pretty happy with anything that comes out of the bag. And I don't know that I've been blown away by a movie in a way that I have by A Quiet Place. So, That's four for the top two, just because you can't talk about the decade without those series. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
For films, though, definitely A Quiet Place and then Get Out. Get Out taking the pole position.
Yeah. So I went overall horror, overall genres, not just films. Here's my top 10 for the decade on all mediums. Number 10 was It Follows. Number nine was the Autopsy of Jane Doe.
Yeah, yeah.
Number eight was The Babadook. Number seven was The Conjuring. Number six was It Chapter One. Number five for me was Hush.
Okay.
Number four was A Quiet Place. Number three was Stranger Things. Number two was The Haunting of Hill House. And number one was Get Out.
Okay, man. No argument for me on any of that, except The Witch. Why'd you leave The Witch out?
Okay. So, if I was going to do, again, I put It Follows in for like, it's not my personal favorite of top 10. I just feel like the historical context, and it seems like it's everyone's favorite in the top 10. And I felt like it needed to be in there.
Yeah, you like honoring the community.
Yeah, okay. Basically.
Yeah, I respect that.
If it were going to be up to me, I would put The Witch at number 10, which, I mean, I guess it is up to me. But if I wasn't trying to honor the community, then sure. I would put The Witch at number 10. And that's kind of like with you, with Mama and Don't Breathe. That would have been mine, you know, with It Follows, The Witch.
Yeah.
I think it's a great movie. But if it were just movies, it would have been up there. But since I put Stranger Things and The Haunting of Hill House in mine,
yeah,
you got to bump some stuff. And unfortunately, that's just one of them that gets bumped.
Yeah. I mean, there's almost a tier unto itself. So for me, you're talking about The Witch, Happy Death Day, Don't Breathe, Mama,
yeah.
It Follows. Like, there's this group of movies that are like, man, they're right on the cusp. And I think probably there's more consensus about the top three or four than there is about, you know, 6 through 10.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you get down there, there's a glut, and they really, each movie has its own strengths that, depending on what you resonate with most, you're gonna want to honor.
You know? And you know what, Jeff? Honestly, the more I'm thinking about it, I'm probably gonna have to bump It Follows because I didn't put Us on there.
Oh yeah, you love Us, yeah, sure. It's gotta be up there.
And I think it's gotta be in my top 10 of the decade. So I'm actually gonna go ahead and do that. I'm gonna bump It Follows, and I'm gonna put Us as my number 10.
Okay.
And now that I've done that, I kind of want to redo my entire list. But no, I'm good.
Okay. Well, so coming out of this, so we would agree that best movies of the decade are Get Out and A Quiet Place?
Yes.
Okay, so we have consensus on that. We also agree you can't talk about horror in the 2010s without The Haunting of Hill House.
Right. I think that it runs neck and neck with Get Out as the definitive thing of the 2010s.
Okay. So if we were just going all genre, Get Out's number one, number two's Haunting of Hill House, number three's A Quiet Place?
Well, I mean, for me, it would be Stranger Things and then A Quiet Place.
Okay. I would flip those two. So anyway, we have a consensus on the top four.
Yeah.
And I mean, man, that's a treasure. I mean, it's been a really good decade for horror now.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a great 5 years.
That's true. I mean, starting with 2016, we got just a wealth of stuff coming in.
Yeah. I mean, Stranger Things started in 2016, and then it just escalated from there. So,
yeah, well, the same year, Autopsy of Jane Doe,
right.
The Witch, Don't Breathe. I mean, it just started pouring out.
Yeah. And The Babadook was out in, what, 15, I think. It Follows was out in 14. So, you know, the early years of the decade were a little lean, but I mean, we've really come into our own. And, you know, there's also a point that you could have been made for putting Oculus on your top 10.
Sure.
Or, you know, if you're going to go top 15 to 20, I think it's definitely on there. And you said that Flanagan is your horror guy for the decade. The only pushback on that I have is I just got to say Jordan Peele. There is nothing that I've ever seen like Get Out. And watching it in theaters with you and the Tech football team, it ranks up there. Probably is one of my favorite non-superhero movie watching experiences of all time.
Well, I'm certainly right there with you on that. I think it comes down to who you think of with the 2010s is going to be Flanagan or Peele.
Mm-hmm.
And are you looking for the one who put up the most points in a single game, right? Or are you looking for the guy who has the highest scoring average over the whole season? And I'll just freely admit, Flanagan doesn't hit the heights of Get Out.
Yeah.
But steady, excellent content. And so I guess if somebody put a gun to my head, I would trade, if I could only pick one, either Flanagan's body of work this decade or Get Out, I would be the glutton and take all of Flanagan's work. I think for you, you'd say, no, give me probably the best movie of, I don't know, your adult years, you know, with Get Out. Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that I would go with quality over quantity.
Yeah, sure.
In that situation. But not to say that, I mean, again, you're looking at Oculus, you're looking at Gerald's Game, Hill House. Those are, I mean, that's an impressive body of work right there. And then Hush on top of it, which I think, honestly, movie wise, might be my favorite thing Flanagan's done.
Yeah, Before I Wake is in there. Sleep. I had this experience this holiday season. A relative came by and I said, there's this guy named Mike Flanagan who made these movies I love. And he said, oh, actually, I started watching The Haunting of Hill House and it's really good. And I said, look, I don't know of a director who has consistently put out content the way Flanagan has. There's no movie of his that I dislike.
Yeah.
And so for the rest of the like Christmas and New Year season, I was just getting steady texts. Watching Hush tonight, incredible. You know, watching Oculus, blown away. I mean, just the whole run through, it was fun to watch it happen for somebody I cared about. Flanagan's he's a master.
Yeah. Yeah. He's also an artful dodger. Seeing as how he no longer responds to our direct messages.
How we get ghosted by Mike Flanagan.
Yeah. I'm no pun upset intended. About it. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, man, I think it really, I could say Jordan Peele, and I don't think you're going to have much argument with my opinion on that. You're going to say Mike Flanagan, and I'm going to be like, yeah, that makes sense to me too.
Yep.
So either way, I think it's just an amazing time to be a horror movie fan. And I'm just glad that, you know, we've been able to be along for, in my opinion, the better part of the decade where a lot of really talented creative people decided that they were going to make this genre respectable and not just, hey, we're going to show some boobs and kill people for 90 minutes and it's going to make $20 million. You know, we're going to make it for $14.50 and it's going to gross $20 million and be a cash cow.
Yeah.
And we've seen those
for sure.
You know, especially in the early stages of this podcast, man, it felt like there were times where I would leave, you know, from recording with you and I'd be like, why am I doing this show? Like, we need to branch out and do more genres of movies. And luckily, you know, 9 weeks in, we got Get Out and then things just got better from there. So,
I mean, I hadn't really spent any time praising Peele, and I don't feel like I, you know, anybody needs me to, but what you just said is right. Peele did so much for the genre, not just for like people who just want to see a good movie. Like, we'd never seen anything like Get Out.
Yeah.
But he brings this sort of attention to the genre with Get Out that I think some of it's been dumb where people are talking about elevated horror and whatnot, but you can't ignore the fact that like more people with real pull in Hollywood are looking at the horror genre as something that can be a very meaningful, meaningful cinematic outlet, right? Like, so we saw a movie that everybody calls a horror movie win an Oscar for Best Picture.
Right.
This is all sort of bound up together with what Peele did with Get Out. And so I just tip my cap to the man and I hope he stays in the genre. I don't have any illusions that he won't work in other genres, but I just hope he continues to come back to it and show us.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And I think the thing with people like Mike Flanagan and Jordan Peele is they don't feel like that horror is beneath them. And they also don't play it with a tongue in cheek, like wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the audience.
Oh, so like, well said, sir.
They make movies because they themselves were horror fans and they know what horror fans want. And, I think that so often we have that like, oh, yeah, this is just a scary movie, blah, blah, blah. Like, it doesn't need emotional gravitas or an actual plot. We just need a big bad and, you know, a bunch of good looking 20 somethings playing teens that'll get killed. You know, we were looking for the next Wes Craven. We were looking for the next John Carpenter and we found him. And I for one, am excited about that.
Eloquently said, sir. Yeah, I mean, you talked about how these two guys not only like horror movies, but they know what horror fans like. you didn't say it explicitly, but they know what the genre can accomplish. And they've been, they've been just demonstrating, hey, you know, if you had low expectations of horror, you were wrong. Let me show you a way forward. And it's a real gift. I mean, I don't want to get too grandiose, but it's a real gift if you like movies, and particularly if you like horror movies.
Yeah, it is. And it's nice to have people that want to take the genre with seriousness.
Yeah.
And not be, you know, again, not be, let's do Dawson's Creek, but with a serial killer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, gosh, man. You've got your A game. I mean, you've just described a lot of 90s horror.
And, yeah.
I'm not sad to see it going.
Yeah, neither am I. So excited to see what this new decade brings for us in terms of horror and entertainment, and looking forward to being alongside you for that ride, Jeff Wright.
Yes, sir. It's been fun.
Man, I'm exhausted.
Sure. We put some time in here, but we've been gone for so long, we kind of needed to.
Yeah. I mean, we're just scratching the surface on things, but I think that we have done a great job giving a fitting end to not only 2019, but the decade that was the 2010s. So it's been a heck of a ride, Jeff, and I look forward to seeing what these roaring 20s bring for you and I. Hopefully not another plague nor stock market failure.
For sure. You going to go watch The Grudge?
You know what, man? I'm thinking very seriously about it. I've got I'm in packing mode today, where packing up everything because I'm leaving Branson, and I'll be gone Sunday night. So I'm trying to get everything packed up. Today's my final day off before I finish out the season at the Stampede. And so I'm trying to get everything packed up. If I get everything done or as much accomplished as I want to today, then I'll probably go check that out tonight. I was gifted with some AMC gift cards for Christmas, so put those to good use.
Yeah.
But I'll be honest with you, man. I couldn't care less about that movie.
I like the originals, or at least I like the original, and I like the Japanese source material. And so I'm just, you know me, the horror optimist, horror uncle. I'm going to try to live in belief here.
Yeah. And I hope that it's good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that it winds up being, hope it winds up being a good movie and stuff. So, I may wait until somebody else sees it and then tells me whether or not I should go see it.
Yeah, okay.
What
definitely
about you?
Watch Tigers Are Not Afraid. Definitely catch that.
Okay. Yeah, well, we're going to watch that together.
Okay. I'm going to hold you to it.
All right. Sounds good. Are you going to try to go watch that tonight?
I don't know if I'll catch it tonight. Maybe tomorrow. I've got a meeting that's going to go a long time tomorrow, and it may be the palate cleanse I need.
There you go. Well, that sounds good. We'll get that watched, and we'll get a review to you guys pretty soon, and we'll start the year off. Well, I mean, we've already started the year off, but we'll keep it going in the right direction. So stay tuned for next week, or probably the week after, for a brand new episode of Sauce Up the Scary. Thank you guys for listening. Happy New Year. Thank you for being patient and being understanding with crazy schedules and life's demands. We hope to get back to a normal schedule here in the upcoming weeks. And we look forward to talking with you guys all about what you thought. What's your top 10 for 2019? What's your top 10 for the 2010s? We would love to hear from you on that. You can go to the Facebook group, We Saw Something Scary, and let us know all about it. You can email Jeff and I at sawsomethingscary@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you there. Or you can tweet at us. He's at Right Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo. And we would love to engage with you however you would like to do it. But for right now, we're out of time. Hey, we did talk about some other pop culture stuff, and we didn't want to have a gap where we go from horror to pop culture. So we're going to throw that after the bumper. And so if you guys want to stick around and listen to that, there's going to be some more content there for you as well. We just tried to cram as much stuff in this as possible because we know how much you've missed our beautiful, rich, lovely voices.
Yeah, that's extra rich and beautiful and lovely because of this cold.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff and I have a deep bass going because I've been talking 12 hours every day for the last 6 weeks, and Jeff has had a cold. So fun stuff. Anyway, we'll see you guys back here real soon. Hey, special thanks to Ryan M. Brewer for our theme song. I haven't really shouted him out lately, but go to Ryan M. Brewer on Twitter, or you can go to Bandcamp and search Ryan M. Brewer and get some tunes from a man, a great singer-songwriter, and did us a solid with our theme song that I think is the best theme song in all of podcasts.
You're here.
I'll fight anybody that says otherwise.
We lack for no confidence, my friend.
That's right. Till next time, I deem this meeting of the Midnight Society closed, and we'll see you guys back here real soon. Bye-bye, man. I know we normally don't talk outside of – well, I mean, sometimes we do talk outside of the horror genre. But if you, off the top of your head, top five movies of 2019, just across the spectrum.
Ooh, okay. Well, Get Out and A Quiet Place are up there for me.
Well, I'm saying 2019.
Oh, 2019. Sorry, I was thinking about the decade again.
Yeah.
2019. Why don't you go first and I'll collect my thoughts.
Well, so I'm going to say Endgame. Uh-huh. Will probably be my number one. I'll be honest with you. Really, the only reason I wanted to bring the whole thing up is to talk about Ford versus Ferrari.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That movie was tremendous.
Yeah, dude. It was super satisfying.
And not a movie that I would have expected to be in my top probably three movies of the year. Uh-huh. But I think it has to be.
Yeah, man, I had a very similar experience. My kids wanted to see it. I'm always up for a race car movie. And I just came out of that. The way I described it to you, I may have mentioned on here before, it's not as good as like Braveheart or Gladiator. But I came away with something like that level of satisfaction, mm-hmm. where I was just so pleased by that movie and spending my time watching it.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great. And I really did just... I gush over it because I thought it was great. I'll tell you another movie that would have made my top five or would be in my top five is Knives Out.
See, and I know you need to catch it. Yeah.
I know you dislike Rian Johnson, but I think outside of the Star Wars genre, and I'll also tell you this, man, after watching Rise of the Skywalker, I understand more and more your dissatisfaction with The Last Jedi.
Yeah.
I enjoyed The Last Jedi. Obviously a lot more than you did, but I did. I enjoyed it and didn't understand the hatred for it. But after watching Rise of the Skywalker, I understand more and more why people were upset with what happened with it. And I understand the arguments that were being made.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm delighted that I take that to mean you liked Rise of the Skywalker.
Yes, sir, I did.
Yeah, I liked Rise of the Skywalker to a great degree, and it basically saved the sequel trilogy for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm just delighted to hear that. I really do think Ryan screwed the pooch on The Last Jedi. I think history's going to bear that out, even though right now it's not as clear. But you're also like among three or four people who I really respect their opinion on movies, who said Knives Out is great. And so my working theory is that Ryan probably... just doesn't need to work with pre-existing franchises. Like, I don't want to mm-hmm. see him on a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But if they give him something new and say, hey, just go create what you think is good, I'm willing to believe that that's going to be – he's going to be strong, you know?
Yeah.
And I definitely am going to try to see Knives Out as soon as I can.
Yeah, it's a great movie. As a matter of fact, if I have time – which is a huge if, but if I have time, I plan on watching it again before it leaves theaters.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll try to catch on that too. Thinking about my top five of the year, maybe I can't give you the order, but Ford versus Ferrari's there. Mm-hmm. Us is going to be in there. Joker is going to be in there. Hmm. And Endgame's going to be in there. And I'm not sure what the fifth one would be. Maybe Tigers Are Not Afraid. No joke.
Yeah. So looking at it, I'm going to say in no particular order, Endgame, Knives Out, Ford versus Ferrari, us, and this is gonna, you're gonna love this, probably Hobbs and Shaw.
Yes, I haven't seen it.
I own it.
Oh my gosh, how crazy have things flipped for you and I when it comes to that franchise?
I walked into that movie, and you know my unappreciation, we'll say, for the Fast and the Furious franchise, but I thought that Dwayne Johnson and Jason Statham had a great chemistry. I thought the movie was ridiculous, but I had a blast watching it. So off the top of my head, I can't think of another movie that I had more fun watching in theaters besides the other four that I would say would merit bumping Hobbs and Shaw out of the top five.
Well, dude, this is going to be your gateway drug to that whole franchise. I'll tell you, part of my problem here is that there's a bunch of movies I need to see to make, you know, a definitive call that I didn't yet.
Yeah.
Knives Out's one of those.
Yeah. So Hobbs and Shaw may be top 10. It's A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, or Won't You Be My Neighbor, whichever one that's called, with Tom Hanks playing Mr. Rogers, was exceptional.
See, that's another one I need to see, Knives Out. And I didn't because I got this stupid sickness. I haven't finished The Irishman yet. So, like,
there's people that have been watching it since it came out that haven't finished The Irishman yet. So don't worry about it.
I just feel like I need to get my butt in gear to watch a bunch of movies now that I'm healthy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't have Netflix anymore, so I probably won't watch The Irishman. Also, with Scorsese's comments about Marvel movies, I just want to kind of avoid it because I think that's stupid and childish. I'm trying to think of if there's anything else I've seen this season or this year that I would put. Did you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
I didn't. I haven't seen 1917. I'm not going to watch A Marriage Story. I have no interest in that movie.
Yeah.
I want to see The Peanut Butter Falcon. I want to see that We Shall Not Grow or They Shall Never Grow Old documentary. So
yeah,
there's just a bunch out there I hadn't laid eyes on.
I've got to watch Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, Jojo Rabbit's another one.
And I just missed it in theaters. I kept trying to figure out Uncut Gems too
is supposed to be great. The Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I would probably also put Jumanji, The Next Level.
Oh, really?
In my top 10. I really enjoyed it. I've seen it twice now.
Oh, okay. Well,
but again, you've got to remember that I have a huge love for Dewey Johnson.
Sure.
And that's going to cloud my judgment a little bit, but I think if you enjoyed the first Jumanji that you'll really enjoy this one.
Okay.
The language is a little coarser in it. There's no like F-bombs or anything, but it's a little, I just noticed, I was like, whoa, that's, you know, this is supposed to be a kid movie and you're throwing out some rougher language than I would have expected. But I only say that to you because you have kids.
Well, actually, I had felt that way about the original. I was like, this is a little, like, who is this movie for? It's a little too much for like my kids to watch, but it's also built on a concept I don't think a lot of adults are going to grab onto, but. It, you know, more of the same. I won't be showing it to my kids anyway, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. But I think if you watched it, if you watched the first one and enjoyed it, you'll enjoy that. I bring up Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I watched it, man. It's okay.
Oh, yeah. Just okay.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest Tarantino fan in the world. But anytime that he links up with Leo, I'm interested. And I thought it was a good movie. It's too long. And it gets weird in certain spots. Like some of his fetishes come out in this movie.
Okay.
And I'm not going to say don't watch it. I'm going to say that I'm probably in the minority by saying it's just okay. But it wasn't what I hoped that it was. And I thought that Leo and Brad Pitt did an awesome job, like always. But I don't think it'll make my like top 10 best movies of the year.
That's pretty much similarly how I handle Tarantino.
Yeah.
Like there's usually some part of the movie that I really like, but on the whole, I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. And by the end of it, I was just rolling my eyes.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm still going to watch it, but I'll get back to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you should. I'm not going to say it's not worth watching. Excuse me. But I don't think that it's the end all be all that people have claimed that it is.
Sure. Okay.
I also need to see Frozen 2.
And my kids loved it. My wife took them, and I'm assuming I will see that when it hits Disney Plus. So I'm not even going to try to catch it until then.
Oh yeah, you know? That's when I'll watch it. It's on Disney Plus. And then what about the Bombshell movie? Do you have any desire to watch that?
I don't think I know which one that is.
It's it's with Charlize Theron and Nicole Kidman and Margot Robbie.
Oh, like the blondes.
Yeah. A group of women take on Fox News head Roger Ailes, whatever his name is, and the toxic atmosphere he presided over the network. Charlize Theron is playing Megyn Kelly, and Nicole Kidman is playing Gretchen Carlson.
I'm looking at now, friggin' Lithgow's in it. Yeah. Allison Janney, Malcolm McDowell, Kate McKinnon, Connie Britton. Yeah, I'll definitely watch that.
Yeah, it's
Mark Duplass is in there as well.
Yeah.
There he is.
Yeah. Duplass is in that Apple Plus or whatever they're doing, their streaming network now.
Oh, really?
He's in that series with Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell that's supposedly gotten some buzz. He does a good job in it from the episodes I've seen. I've only seen a couple, but I wasn't surprised that he does a good job, but I was, it was a nice surprise to see him in it.
Well, I basically need to take a month off from work and just say, I'm watching movies.
That's the thing about it. There's just so much content out now. And while that's great, it also sucks because you never feel like you can catch up.
Yeah.
Like I just don't understand people who have the time to watch everything.
I hear you. And, you know, like I'm already the guy in a lot of my friend groups where people are like, how have you had time to watch that? And it's because I'm cramming stuff in every available moment. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
any work I'm doing has a movie going on. So,
yeah, you're
right. It does seem like drowning in a sea of gifts.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, speaking of the year, your boy couldn't be any more over the moon about Mandalorian. So,
oh, my goodness. Dude, it's so good.
That was appointment viewing in my household.
Yeah. Yeah, it was wonderful. And I can't wait to, you know, somebody said this on social media the other day that was how the Star Wars movie should have been for the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, holy smokes, that's so true.
Well, I don't mean to turn this into like a Star Wars, you know, dialogue, but.
No, Jeff, this is the way. Go ahead.
I have spoken. The Clone Wars is a cartoon that I just skipped entirely, but it got to Disney Plus and I was like, well, I've got a bunch of people who love it. And dude, it's incredible. And it fixes so much of the prequels for me. Like, I get why Obi-Wan and Anakin were friends now. I get why people liked Anakin and saw him as someone who they admired and that he wasn't just a whiny punk. Like it does all that. And it's Dave Filoni. Dave Filoni is this guy who was a George Lucas protege who also worked with Favreau to create the Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
And what seems so clear in hindsight is that Filoni should have just been given the franchise and said, I mean, he apparently,
I'm so sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Having seen him and Favreau work with the Mandalorian, it seems to me that he's better than George Lucas, and he's certainly better than like Kathleen Kennedy or whoever you see is having stewardship of the new sequels. They should have just had Filoni handle it when Favreau wanted to work. Let Favreau come in. If Kevin Feige wants to, you know, have a hand, sure, bring him in. But like Filoni should have been the guy's steward. Yeah. It.
Huh. I'm sure this is not news to you, but I love the fact that Taika Waititi was the guy who directed the finale.
Yeah, man. And that finale was just so good. Just so stinking good. That kid, that guy, everything he puts out seems awesome. He's another director where you're like, okay, if I can't say his name, but if Waititi is gonna put his name on it, I'm definitely going to watch it.
Yeah. Yeah. Taika Waititi is... I think he is the like sci-fi superhero genre. Well, I can't say that because I mean he's done everything. And also I'm going to say this, probably an honorable mention that we should have mentioned for the decade is What We Do in the Shadows,
mm-hmm.
which is also a Taika Waititi movie, and it's you know, you and I are both not big on horror comedy, but man, that's a great film. And from what I've heard, it's turned into a great series on FX. So I want to give that a little love before we wrap this up.
Okay.